Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Kuf. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous Shiur, we had learned a Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis that spoke about a situation where Yom Kippur came out on a Friday. During Yom Kippur, there are numerous sacrifices that are offered. One of them is a so'ir, that's part of the Musaf offering. That is a korban chatos that is to be eaten. Of course, on Yom Kippur, no eating is allowed, so we would anticipate that the eating is going to take place on the night after Yom Kippur, which of course is still within the time bounds allotted to the Korban. What happens if the night after Yom Kippur happens to be Shabbos? In other words, Yom Kippur, as we said, came out on Erev Shabbos on Friday. What about the eating of the meat? Well, usually meat has to be cooked or roasted. In the case of Shabbos, you can't prepare the meat. The only option is to eat it raw. So the Mishnah pointed out that the Bavlayim, the Kohanim that came from Bovel, they would eat the raw meat. The Gemara that we begin with today is found at the upper part of Daf Kuf, 7 lines from the top. At the end of the line, Chal Yom HaKippurim Lios B'Shabbos V'chulei. V'chulei means etc. We're focusing on the case of Yom Kippur that came out on Erev Shabbos, which is featured in the Mishnah. Omar Rabba Bar Chana Omar Rabbi Yochanan Lo Bavlayim Heim. The ones who ate the raw meat on Friday night, they were not really from Bovel. Elo Alexandriayim Heim. They were from Alexandria of Egypt. So why were they referred to as the Bavlayim? We should preface this, and that is that eating raw meat is not considered something praiseworthy. It's characteristic of someone who is of a ravenous appetite. So the Gemara says, "Umitoch shesoinim es bavlayim." Since the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, they hated the Babylonians, and we're talking about the Babylonian Jews, and their hate emanates from the fact that in the time of Ezra, when the Jewish community in part returned to Eretz Yisrael, very few actually returned. Most of the community remained in Bovel. And the Gemara at the beginning of Yuma suggests that as a result of that, the final redemption didn't come. So the Jews, the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael, had a type of grudge against the Babylonian Jewish community, and at any opportunity to express their contempt toward them, they would do so. And this is an example. Umitoch shesoinim es bavlayim, kuren oisom al shem bavlayim. Since the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael had contempt for the Babylonians, even if one was not a Babylonian, he would be referred to as such if in description of some type of negative trait. Tanya Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source that supports this approach. Rabbi Yossi Omer Lo Bavlayim Heim Ela Alexandriayim Heim. The ones who were eating the raw meat weren't really Babylonians. They were from Alexandria. Umitoch shesoinim es bavlayim kurin oison al shem bavlayim. And since the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael had contempt for the Babylonians, they called these Alexandrians who were eating raw meat by the name Babylonian. Omar lo Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda says to Rabbi Yossi, and it's important to preface that Rabbi Huda's family originated in Bovel. So Rabbi Huda, upon hearing this, that those who were eating the raw meat weren't really Babylonians, Rabbi Huda felt a sense of comfort in that he was not from a family that had this negative trait. Tanuach daitcha shinachta dati. you should have a feeling of inner serenity and comfort because you have granted that to me. The Tosfos at the top is worth learning. Shesoinim es b'habavlayim. Tosfos says, "Kidashkachno b'perakama diuma." This contemptuous feeling on the part of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael toward the Babylonian community is found in the first parak of Maseches Yuma. The Omar lay Reish Lakish, Rebbe Lozer. Reish Lakish addressed Rebbe Lozer. Eloka di Yisrael Sanina Lechu. It's an expression in the name of the Almighty. I hate you. Lefi Shelo Olu Bimei Ezra. Since they didn't come, the Babylonian Jewish community did not return in full in the time of Ezra. And that which they are referred to here in a negative light in their consumption of raw goat meat, in fact, the fact that they were eating the raw meat prevented the meat from laying over, from becoming nosar, which is in effect a mitzvah to preserve the holy meat, the sacrificial meat, from becoming nosar, which is in effect a waste. Lefi, why then is this feeling of contempt mentioned in this context? Lefi shehir gilu atzmam kemo kein ba'ochlam chayim af b'chol hashonim demechzik rav senusa, because they accustom themselves, these people, these Alexandrians, accustom themselves every year when Motzoi Yom Kippur came around, they would pounce upon the meat, even though the night after Yom Kippur was not a Shabbos. They would feeling of starvation, if you will, of being ravenous, they would not wait the few moments that it took to prepare the meat, so that it's this eating of the raw meat was characteristic of their behavior and not something associated specifically with the fact that in this case it was Shabbos. Turning to the Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we notice in the Mishnah a geometric form. We have a house form, and this is explained in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading. The Nosei is a topic, Mivneh a structural note. Here we have combined the two into one note, and you can see the house form appears, and they are Gimel Mikrim, three examples or instances, Shel Sidur Lechem Aponim Shelo Kedin, where there is something that's Shelo Kedin done, something incorrectly is done in the context of the setting up of the Lechem Haponim. Before learning the Mishnah, we should just point out that according to standard procedure, the Lechem Haponim was the 12 breads that sat on the Shulchan in the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash, sat there for a week, and they were placed there, the new breads were placed there on Shabbos, and the next Shabbos they were removed. So in effect they sat there for 8 days if you count the Shabbosos inclusively. And upon putting the new breads on the table, there was also two containers of Lavona spice, and the containers' names were Bozichin. So along with the Lechem Aponim placed on Shabbos were also these Bozichin. And on the next Shabbos, the breads of that previous week were removed and distributed amongst the Kohanim, but only after the Bozichin were offered. The Lavona in the Bozichin were burnt on the Mizbeach. And this would take place Shabbos after Shabbos. If there's any change in time, that will be featured now in the Mishnah. Sider es alechem, the first example, Sider es alechem b'Shabbos v'sobozichin la'achar Shabbos. In this case, they set up the bread properly on Shabbos. However, the bozichin they set up on Sunday. V'hikter es habozichin b'Shabbos, and the bozichin were then offered the following Shabbos, namely only 6 days later, 6 days after that Sunday. So, posel, it's posel because of mechuser zman, the premature offering of the bozichin. Bozichin are not to be offered unless they sit there from Shabbos to Shabbos. In this case, they sat there from Sunday till Shabbos. Now, as a result of this, let us say that one were to offer the bozichin on that following Shabbos with an intent to eat the breads at the wrong time. Generally speaking, when one offers something on the Mizbeach with an intent of eating something at the wrong time or beyond the time limit, that's called pigel. And the consumption of that product, of that item, would be chayav kores. In this case, since the offering of the bozichin was done improperly, it does not generate the pigel status. And that's what the Mishnah says here, ein chayavin olam mishum pigel, nosar v'tomei. These two other problems are also non-issues in this case. The meat, the breads would not become nosar. Nosar is only that which had been allowed and then was left over time. But in this case, the breads were never allowed because the bozichin were not done properly. And tuma as well, someone who, let us say, ate it, but tuma saguf, when one has one has absorbed ritual impurity, generally speaking, if one eats sacrificial meat or other sacrificial matters in a state of tumas haguf, having absorbed personally tuma, that would result in kores. But that rule applies to the prohibition of eating sacrificial items. The tumas haguf applies only with regard to something that could have been eaten by pure individuals, by tahurim. But since this lechem, being that the bozichon were offered improperly, could not be eaten by tahurim, when a tome eats it, it does not generate the chiyuv kores. These halachos will be repeated in the upcoming sections of the Mishnah as well. Second example, Sider es alechem ves bozichon b'Shabbos. Everything was set up properly. V'hikdir es bozichon la'achar Shabbos. However, the bozichon were offered on Sunday, not on Shabbos. Again, you have an example of something done improperly. As a result, v'ein chayovin aleihem mishum pigul noisar v'tomei. As a result of the improper offering, these statuses do not set in. Pigul, noisar, and tomei. Tomei being the example of someone eating the item, the tumas haguf. He would not be chayav kores. Third case. Sider es alechem ves bozichon la'achar ha'Shabbos. Here everything was set up late. It wasn't set up on Shabbos, but rather on Sunday. V'hiktir es bozichon b'Shabbos. And then on the next Shabbos, the bozichon were offered. There are some girsos that don't read the next word, and that's because this is not this isn't a total loss. There is something that can be done to save the situation. Ketzad ya'aseh. What should we do in such a case where the bozichin were set up with the lechem with too little time between their setting up and the following Shabbos? Answer: Yanicheno l'Shabbos habo. So he just leaves it for another full week until the following Shabbos. We'll call it the second Shabbos. She'afilu hi al hashulchan yomim rabim ein b'kach klum. In such a case, even though it's there many more days than it was supposed to be, nevertheless, since you didn't have a full week going by, namely from Shabbos to Shabbos, this represents no problem. Let us glance at the Rashi, Yanicheno l'Shabbos habo, v'amod shvuayim al hashulchan. The breads, in effect, with the bozichon are sitting from Sunday till the second Shabbos later. That would be 2 weeks. The keva de lo nizdar b'Shabbos, since they weren't set up on Shabbos, ein shulchan mekatshoi ad ha-Shabbos. The shulchan will not sanctify these breads until the following Shabbos. Hilchach lo mifsal ad l'tzmotzoi Shabbos sheni. Therefore, there's no psul, there's no problem of lo mifsal belina, the Rashi said, ad l'tzmotzoi Shabbos sheni. The problem of being left on too long, which would result in the psulina, does not set in until the night following the second Shabbos of that, namely of that second week. Turning now to the Gemara. Before learning the Gemara, though, we have a topic heading in the outside margin, and it reads, Hahakpodo al yoim l'shchitas korbanos v'kiddush koymetz, the insistence on the slaughtering of sacrifices and the sanctification of a meal offering handful must be done during the daytime. Tanan Hossam. We have a Tanaic source that's a quote from Maseches Yuma. In this Tanaic source, you find the people in charge of the Beis HaMikdash activities being very concerned that daytime has arrived, and this is to ensure that the korbanos are shechted, are slaughtered at the proper time. Omar Lahem HaMemune, the appointed one, said, Tzu uru im higia zman hashchita. It would, the Memune would appoint someone to go up on a roof and see if there is sufficient sunlight, sufficient daylight to warrant the time of shchita. The shchita, the slaughtering of sacrifices. Im higia, if the time arrived, haroya oimer, the one who noticed the daylight level that's required would then announce bar koi. Bar koi is an expression of there is light. Matasya ben Shmuel Omer, this Matasya ben Shmuel has a slightly different version of the same story. He says that the one who was below, who was waiting for the information, would ask the person on the roof, Heir Penei Kol HaMizrach Ad SheBeChevron, and bear in mind, we're standing at Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and he would ask the person on below on the ground, would ask the person on the roof who's looking toward the direction of Hebron, and he would be asked, is there enough light so that all of the east is lit up until Hebron? For who Omer Hain? And the person on the roof would answer, yes. V'loma hutzruchu lekach, why was it so important to go through this process of going up on the roof and checking out whether there's enough light? Shepam achas, once the following happened. Olo mo'or halavona, there was a lot of moonlight that was cast, v'dimu, and it appeared, sheheir mizrach, that Heir Mizrach, which is the light level of, we'll say the post-dawn required light level, had arrived. Shachatu es HaPesach, and based on this light level that in fact was generated by the moon, they slaughtered the daily morning sacrifice. V'hotziu, the Beis HaSreif, and then upon realizing that the light level wasn't from the sun at all, but rather from an intense moonlight, they then took the animal to the to be burnt as discarded as a discarded sacrifice. The Ridu Kohen Gadol Beis HaTvila, the Kohen Gadol went to the mikveh, which is what one does before doing the case of the Kohen Gadol going to the mikveh is something that's characteristic primarily of the Yom Kippur service. However, it's also something done when a Kohen relieves himself of solid bodily waste, a tevila is necessary. Zeh haklal, hoyav mikdash. The following rule applied in the mikdash with regard to bodily relief. Kol ha-masich es raglov, to'un tevila. Anyone who relieves himself of solid waste must immerse himself in the mikvah. Kol hamatil mayim, someone who simply urinates, ton kiddush yodayim v'raglayim, he needs to sanctify his hands and feet with water. Now this kiddush yodayim v'raglayim is done through the water of the kior, of the water tank that sat in the azora of the Beis HaMikdash. In effect, this source which spoke about the insistence on daylight for the slaughtering of sacrifices is now a lead-in to the following. Toni avua de Rebbe Ovin. Lo zu bilvad, not only the shchita of a tomid that is done at night is to be discarded. Elo afilu, two more examples. Oila sa'oif shenim l'kobalaila, a bird offering whose malika was done at night. Malika is the process of slaughtering a bird offering. Umincha shenik mitzvah balayla, and likewise a handful of a meal offering that is taken and put into a second service vessel. The mincha is the handful that's removed from the bowl containing the flour, and that is, the handful is eventually to be offered on the mizbeach. Now, if the handful, the kmitza, was done at night, teitzei lebeis hasreifa, it's to be discarded, it's to be burnt in the discarding area. That having been said, the Gemara now embarks on a back and forth discussion, and we've featured what is going to come up now in our note in the outside margin. Under the nosei heading, the title heading of the sukkah, we've also included the word hemshech. This is a continuation of what we mentioned before in our previous heading about the concern of doing these procedures during the daytime, during the, there has to be daybreak has arrived. And in addition to the topic that will be in this note, we also have a mivneh, a structural note that accompanies it. In the Gemara itself, you will have noticed that there is a volcano shape that appears. This is going to be used in both directions, indicating a ma'akav. Ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of the back and forth, give and take nature of discussion. With the narrow part of the volcano facing upwards, kushios, they represent questions, and when it's flipped over, they represent responses. Tshuvos, be'inyin ha'dikotoni, we are going to be having these questions and answers within this topic that we learned that mincha shenikmatza b'laylo yetzel beis hasreifa. We mentioned that the mincha, the meal offering whose handful was removed at night, that is to be discarded. Loma lo machzirin hakoymetz l'kli harishon v'chozer v'komets bayom. Why not simply take the handful of meal offering and put it back into the original vessel with the rest of the flour and then redo the kmitza, the hand taking, the handful taking process during the day? Why must it be discarded? So turning now to the Gemara, Bishlamo Oilas Ha'oif, I understand well the case of the Oilas Ha'oif that was shechted, that was nimlak at night, and it is to be discarded, Mishum Dolo Efshu Ladura, there is no way to restore it, to return it, it's been killed. Ela mincha efshur demahado koymetz leduchtei v'komets biyamama. But with regard to the meal offering, one can return mahader koymetz leduchtei, is to return the koymetz, the handful, to its original place. Meduchtei is its place, and komets biyamama, and take a handful during the daytime. That's the question posed to Avuah, Rabbi Ovin, that presented this information. So the Gemara responds, "Who Tani La v'Hu Omar La?" Avuah Rabbi Yovan taught the source, and he also explains, "Kli Shoreis Mekachin Shaloi Bizmanon." The handful that was taken was put into a second service vessel. That service vessel sanctifies even at the wrong time, even though the nighttime is not the zman for kiddush. The service vessel into which the handful of meal offering was placed sanctifies it. Once it's sanctified, it cannot be mixed back with the balance of the flour of the original meal offering. So it's this sanctification which creates a new status for this handful, which represents the point of no return. Mesvei. The Gemara now raises an objection by quoting the following Tanaic source. It has three cases in it, three rules, and the Gemara will focus on one of them later. So it says, Kol HaKorev Bayom Kir Kodesh Bayom. That which is offered during the daytime is sanctified by day. Balayla Kodesh Balayla. That which is offered at night. And there's an example of that. Those are accompanying wine offerings that one did not bring with his original sacrifice. It's called a minchas nesachim. One can bring that at night. The third example is bein bayom bein balayla, things that are sanctified or that are offered day by day and by night. Kadosh bein bayom ubein balayla. Their sanctification can take place during both time periods. Now, focusing on the first case, Kol HaKorev B'yoyim Kodosh B'yoyim, that which is offered by day, its sanctification is by day. And now we emphasize b'yom in b'layla lo. Sanctification takes place by day and not at night. Now we described the koimetz just before that was taken at night, and that's not the time for kmitza to be done. And we said it had reached the point of no return because of its becoming sanctified. But according to this this rule that we just learned, there should be no sanctification because it is an item that is not offered by night. And if it has not become sanctified because it was done at the wrong time, then it should be able to be returned. So the question then is, why does Avuah the Rabbi Ovin teach that it is to be burnt? It can be returned to its original bowl. The Gemara answers, Eino Kodosh Likraf. When we say that it doesn't become sanctified, it means it doesn't become sanctified to the highest level of sanctity, enabling it to be offered. Avol Kodosh Lipsal. It reaches a certain level of sanctity, whereby the Kometz gains its Kometz status, putting it, let us say, at a different level than the original flower, enough so that it can become ruined, but not enough to enable it to be offered. But nevertheless, we do see that some additional level of sanctity is gained even though it was done at night, and therefore it cannot be returned to the original bowl. Moisiv Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera raises an objection. This is a quote from our Mishnah. We have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating from where this quote is taken, namely by skimming up the page to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice this is pointing to the line where case 3 of the Mishnah was featured. And here it is. Sider es halechem vesapozichin achara shabos. The case featured the setting up of the lechem, of the breads, and the bozichin after Shabbos, namely on Sunday. The hikter es bozichin b'shabbos, and the bozichin were offered prematurely. Well, the loshon of the mishnah is ketzad yaaseh, what should be done. Yanicheno l'shabbos. Let us read this again, just the line above. If he offered the bozichin on Shabbos, as we said, prematurely, psula, this would be render it unfit. It should be noted on a very technical level, this is not exactly the case. This is the same case that was featured in the Mishnah, but it's not the same wording, because in this instance we're making reference to it being psula, unless of course you change the girsa here like we did in the Mishnah, then it would be the same case. Nevertheless, it's the same situation where things were done on the setup was done after Shabbos on Sunday. The bozichin, if offered on Shabbos, would render it unfit. Ketzad yaaseh, what should he do? Yanicheno l'Shabbos haba, he should leave the breads with the bozichin till the second Shabbos, the following Shabbos. Shafilu hi al hashulchan yomim rabim ein bekach klum. Even if it's on the table a long time, there is no problem. What have then we described? We've described, let us call it, on day one, which is a Sunday, the breads are set up. The seven days later on Shabbos, we say, don't offer the bozichin yet. However, wait from that Shabbos till the next Shabbos in order to offer the bozichin. The Gemara now, in raising the question, says, "V'i salka daitoch kli shores mekatshin shaloi bezmanon." If, as was answered before, that service vessels can sanctify things even at the wrong time, likdosh v'lifsal. So in this case, regarding the lechem haponim and the bozichin, there should be sanctification that sets in, and it should become unfit. Now, what exactly do you mean by this? Of course, let's just remind ourselves, we're not talking about the standard case of it being set up on Shabbos. We're talking about it was set up on Sunday, and now we're talking about a time about 2 weeks later. So Rashi explains, the second wide line under the Gemara, Likdosh Me'echod B'Shabbos, let it become sanctified from the Sunday that it's set on the table, which would conform to the rule we said above that sanctification can take place even at the wrong time. So let it become sanctified from that Sunday, V'chimoti Idoch D'chad B'Shabbos, and when the next Sunday comes about, Lifsol Belino L'motsoi Echod B'Shabbos, let it then become posel on the night following the next Sunday. Sharei Shoho Yoiser Mishmoina Yomim, it's now sat on the table for more than 8 days. Yet that doesn't seem to bother us at all. And we said that this whole situation can result in a totally kosher situation by leaving it for 2 weeks on the table. The response is following. Omar Rabba, Man de komoisiv, Shapir komoisiv. The one who raises this question is raising a good question. Avua de Rabbi Ovin Nami Masnisa Ka'omar. It should be noted that Avua de Rabbi Ovin himself cited a Tanaic source. Once again, according to the source that Rabbi Ovin cited, that will create a problem for our Mishnah. We saw in his source that the mincha that was done at night is to be discarded because of the rule that kiddush can take place shelo bizmanoi. Yet the Mishnah is authoritative, so how are we to resolve these things? So here we go. Kosovar, Rabbi Ovin, the source that Rabbi Ovin, Avod Rabbi Ovin cited, is of the opinion Lailo Ein Mechusar Zman. The night time, that's the case of the Mincha that was taken, the handful that was taken at night. The night, we're talking about the night before the given day. It was done early, so to speak. Being that the night precedes the following day, which is the time something should be done, the night is viewed as if it is also the correct time. This is a concept literally translated as nighttime is not considered lacking. The night is attached to the day. Therefore, there is this sanctification that can take place. The way Rashi puts it is, we look at Kosovar Rashi, second line from Adam, Kosovar Tana de Rabbi Ovin, the Tana presented by Rabbi Ovin, or by the Avur de Rabbi Ovin, Lailo Ein Mechusar Zman, Da Lailo Holech Achar Hayom, night follows the day. This is uncharacteristic of general halacha, but when it comes to korbanos, the nighttime is an extension of the day. Therefore, if menachas are to be taken by day, the fact that it was taken at night is considered an extension of the day. Hilkoch mekadish le klishoris lekoimetz dismanohu eloshen avodas lailuk shera. It's considered within the correct time frame, with one minor restriction, is that procedures are not done at night. But as far as time is concerned, it's not considered wrong time. It's considered within the correct time. Just procedurally, things should not be done. That's as far as the mincha that was taken at night and put into a kli shoreis. It's not considered wrong time, and therefore sanctification can take place. Ha yomim mechusaren zman. However, when it comes to days, when something was done at the wrong day, that is considered lacking in time, and therefore the bread that was set up on a Sunday during the day, the table doesn't sanctify those breads. Rashi says at the bottom, Aval yomim mechusar zman, di yomim havi mechusar zman. When you do something at the wrong day, that's considered a severe time lack. Hilkoch lechem hanizdar be'echod b'Shabbos, therefore breads that are set up on the table on Sunday, lo mikadesh le'liv suli, they don't become sanctified even to the level at which they could be subject to becoming invalid. Da'akati kama yomim yesh ad zmano. They still have a number of days till its time comes about. Now, well, so when is its time? Its time will be the following Shabbos. The Gemara asks, though, we continue in this line of reasoning. Soif, soif, but still, nevertheless, or we can say in the final analysis, Kimoti leilya debei shimshi likdush, when the after that Sunday, the first Friday night after that Sunday, you told us that Laila is not Mechusir Zman, so let the Friday night arrival sanctify, in other words, Mekadesh, the breads, the Lifsol, and the following Shabbos, that second Shabbos, namely at the end of 2 weeks, let them become Pusul, namely, the second Friday night, let them become Pusul, namely, they were set up, we'll say in our mind's eye, they were set up at night, and the next morning they become Pusul Belino, because they already have sat there for the full amount of time, and the Psulino can now set in. So once again, from Friday night till the next Friday night, you will have the, we'll call it the full time of allotment, and when the second Shabbos day arrives, that should be considered a psulina that would affect the breads. If we read the Rashi at the top here of Amud Beis, Kimoti Leili Debei Shimshi Shel Shabbos Rishona. Leili Debei Shimshi means the Friday night of the first Shabbos, and we're talking first Shabbos after the Sunday that the breads were put up incorrectly. Likdush, let them become sanctified on that Friday night. The whole Amris Lailo Ein Mechusir Zman. You said that nighttime doesn't represent a shortage of time or a problem of time lack. The Lifsol, and then let them become Pusul Beleil Shishi Shel Shabbos Sheni Belina. And then the next Friday night, of the second Shabbos, let them become Pusul or subject to a Psulina. The breads have sat there now for a full 8 days, and the passage of that following night, when you now hit Shabbos morning of that second Shabbos, too much time has passed. Answer: why this is not a problem? Omar Rava, here we have two approaches to solve this problem. Let's just review the main approach. To explain the mincha done at night, Avuda Rabbi Ovin had to explain his source, that Laila Ein Mechusir Zman, that by taking the handful at night, there is sufficient sanctity that it achieves that it cannot be returned anymore. However, with regard to the lechem aponim, we don't seem to be saying the same thing insofar as we are allowing the distribution of the breads on the Shabbos of that second week and not seeming to be concerned with the sanctification having set in on the Friday night of the week before and then the breads becoming pusul on the daytime of the second Shabbos. Rava says, you know what? B'shekidam v'silek. Before Friday night, at the end of that first week, before the Friday night came, he took the breads off the table. And then on Shabbos, he set them up again. So there wasn't a sanctification that set in on that Friday night, causing the second week Shabbos daytime to pasul, to render the breads unfit. Number two, Marzutra Vitemor of Ashi. Vitemor is school of underline. We use this marking when you have alternatives presented. And here we have Rav Ashi presented as an alternative to Marzutra. He says, Omar, Vitemor of Ashi, Omar, Afilu Temo Bishalo Kidim Vasilik. Even without coming on to this novel approach of removal before Friday night and then replacing it on Shabbos, leave everything as is. Kevon de Sidro Shaloi Kemitzvoso, since the original setting up was done on a Sunday, which was simply an incorrect time, Nase Kemi Shesidroi Hakoif. It's as if it was set up by a monkey, which means for our purposes that the table does not render any sanctification, even bismano. That's what Rashi says. Nase kamisha sidro kofi ein shulchan mekatsho afilu bismanoi. The table doesn't allow sanctification to set in order to set it up for becoming posel through the passage of time. Rashi goes on, Avol kemetz kemitzvoso chashiv olei delaylo ein mechuser zman. However, taking a person actively taking a handful at night, that does impose sanctification because of the concept of laylo ein mechuser zman. So there's a very fine difference over here, namely the setting up of the breads, shelo bizmano, is as if nothing was done, hence the expression kemosh sidro hakoif. Therefore the table does not sanctify it. Once again, as we said a little earlier, the wrong day is considered completely lacking in time, as opposed to the case of the handful taken at night, and the principle of Laila Ein Mechuser Zman sets in. It says, dictates to us that sanctification does set in with regard to that handful, and hence there is a point of no return that is reached, and that's why in Avodah Rabbi Ovin's original source, it's taken out to the Beis HaSreifa. As we turn to the new Mishnah, we notice immediately a double underline marking, which is one of our series markings. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading featured on the outside margin, where we present the topic along with an explanation of the structure, in this case featuring the double underline. That is used to highlight the expression Shtei Alechem and Lechem Haponim. The Shtei Alechem were two loaves that were offered on, that were brought on Shavuos, and the Lechem Haponim, which is the topic we've been discussing till now, the 12 loaves that sat in the Heichal from Shabbos to Shabbos. So we're going to talk about the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Haponim. Zmanehem miyoim afiyosam ad yoim achilosam. We're going to talk about a span of time. We should say more accurately, tvach zman, the length of time, miyom afiyoson ad yom achiloson, from the time of their baking till their time of eating. Shtei halechem ne'echolois loy pochois mishnayim. Shnayim means 2 days. Velo yoiser al shloisha. With regard to the shtei alechem, they are never going to be eaten from the time of their baking till the time of their eating in less than 2 days, and not more than 3 days. To explain this, the Mishnah offers examples. Ketzad. So the first example, ne'efois me'erev yom tov. The baking is to take place on the day before the holiday of Shavuos. So you have that day of Erev, Yom Tov, counts as one, and the day of Shavuos itself counts as day two. Necholos b'Yom Tov l'shnayim. So the result of its being baked on Erev Shavuos and the eating on Shavuos accounts for 2 days. Chal Yom Tov lios achar hashabos. Let's say Shavuos comes out on a Sunday. When are the breads baked? They're baked on Friday. So you will count Friday as one, Shabbos as two, and Shavuos, when they are eaten, is day three. Hence, necholois l'shloisha. Lechem aponim, the Lechem Aponim has a different time frame, bearing in mind that they sat on the table from Shabbos to Shabbos. They were not baked on Shabbos, they had to be baked on Friday. So if you're going to count from Friday, the day of their baking, till the Shabbos of the next week when they will be distributed and eaten, so the Mishnah says, Lechem Aponim ein ne'echal pochos mitisha. They are not going to be eaten from the day of their baking in less than 9 days. Velo yoyser al achad osar, and not more than 11. Kesad examples. Nefe me'erev Shabbos v'nechal b'Shabbos. This is the standard situation from week to week, that they're baked on Friday and eaten on the Shabbos of the next week. Letisha, that's 9 days. Counting Friday, the day of baking, as day one, and the following Shabbos as the final day, you'll count 9 days. A second scenario, Chal Yom Tov Lios Erev Shabbos. Let's say that a holiday came out on a Friday, so the baking of the Lechem Aponim would not take place on the holiday itself. Therefore, Ne'echal La'asara, you'll have an additional day. In other words, the baking will take place on Thursday. From Thursday till Shabbos of the following week, you'll be counting 10 days. When, of course, as we said before, you're counting the day of the baking as one, and the day of the eating as the final day. The third case, Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, if prior to Shabbos, namely on Thursday and Friday, were the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, the baking won't take place on that Thursday, but rather on Wednesday. So from Wednesday till the Shabbos of the next week, that's Ne'echal L'Achad Osar. That comes out to 11 days. The Einoi Doiche, their baking does not supersede Lo Es HaShabbos V'Lo Es Yom Tov. Not Shabbos and not even Yom Tov. A second approach, Ravon Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mishum Rebbe Shimon Ben Hasgan, Doiche Es Yom Tov. This is a point of difference. The Eino Doche Es Yom Tzom. However, it won't be Doche the Yom Kippur. In other words, if Yom Kippur came out on a Friday, then the baking is not doche, the baking will have to be done on Thursday. However, if a Yom Tov came out on Friday, the baking could take place on that day. Omar Ravina. Ravina cites a Gemara he makes reference to an opinion in Maseches Beitza. There is a discussion concerning the bringing of voluntary korbonos, which are known as nedarim and nedavos, on Yom Tov. There is an opinion that says voluntary sacrifices are not to be brought on Yom Tov. But even though Yom Tov is a day that there are certain leniencies with regard to food preparation as opposed to a Shabbos, nevertheless, Nedarim and Nedavos, sacrifices are not to be brought on Yom Tov. So Ravina says, according to this opinion, Omar Ravina, Ledivrei Haomer, Nedarim and Nedavos ain craven be Yom Tov. Lo tema, don't think midoraisa mechsechazu v'rabbanon hu degozru shelo yishet, that min haTorah, from the Torah standpoint, this opinion feels they could be brought, and it's simply a rabbinic intervention that rules they should not bring nedarim and nedavos because of the fear of, if someone has that luxury of bringing them on the holiday, people will delay their sacrifices that they've dedicated throughout the year till the holiday. And there are problems. Rashi makes reference to a couple of problems involved in being mashe until Yom Tov. One of the big problems is that you're getting involved with the problem of, you may miss the time, you may, by having delayed so much, you might not bring it even then, and you'll become to over on an iser called Baal Ta'achir. There are other problems, as we mentioned, but not for right now. The main thing is that Ravina is saying, one, when taking this approach of the Dharma Nadavas ain't craven Yom Tov, one is to conclude that it's not a rabbinic prohibition, based on this fear of Shem or Yishet, that he might come to delay. Elo midoraiso nami lo chazu. This restriction is even on a Torah level. In other words, according to this opinion, though Yom Tov has allowances for Melechas Ochel Nefesh, it does not extend to these sacrifices. The Torah itself doesn't allow for Nedarim and Nedavos to be offered. And the basis of Ravino's analysis is as follows. The Hoshtei Halechem, the Choivas Hayom Hu, the two breads brought that are part of the Shabbos, the Shavuos obligation. Chovas Hayom means the obligation of that very day. The Shtei Alechem are Chovas Hayom Hu. V'leko l'mei mar shem o yisheh. And regarding the Shtei Alechem, there is no hava amina, there's no thought even to speak about shem o yisheh. Shem o yisheh means the fear of delay, because the Shtei Alechem could not have been brought earlier. Unlike the Nedarim and Nedavos that could have been brought earlier, these could not have been brought earlier. And nevertheless, v'kotani eino doiche, loy es haShabbos v'lo es haYom Tov. And even these are not going to supersede, the preparation of these, of the Shtei Alechem, are not going to supersede Shabbos nor Yom Tov. And if that's the case with something like this, with the Shtei Alechem, and as the Rabbeinu Gershom now says, he says that Kol Shekein, then all the more so with Nedarim and Nedavos, where you could have brought it earlier, certainly they will not supersede Shabbos and Yom Tov. We now embark on the new perek, the 12th perek of Menachos. Before learning the Mishnah, let us glance at the outside margin, where we have a Nosei heading, Mosai Shayech Liftois Menachos Unesachim. In general terms, we're going to be talking about the act of redeeming different sacrificial items. Redeeming is a situation where someone sets money aside and transfers the sanctity of the sacrificial item onto the money. So here the issue is, when can one speak about the redemption of Menachos and Nesachim? We will talk about before they're being sanctified in a service vessel and after their sanctification. We will talk about situations where they became Tomei, possibly saying only if they became Tomei can one speak about redemption, or afilu tohurim, or possibly even if they have not become Tomei, they are subject to pidyon, to redemption. Let us see the Mishnah now. HaMenachos v'Nesachim shenitme'u, the meal offerings and wine offerings that became Tomei, ad shelo kitshu b'kli yesh lem pidyon, if this is prior to their being sanctified in a service vessel, then they can be redeemed. Mishi kitshu b'kli ein lohem pidyon. However, if they have been sanctified in a service vessel, let us say the simple case would be that if they were placed in a service vessel and then became Tomei, well, they have no pidyon. They can't be redeemed, and that's because after being placed in a service vessel, they attain something called Kedushas Haguf, an inherent sanctity. This kind of sanctity does not lend itself to redemption. However, prior to the sanctification in the service vessel, one simply set aside some flour, or he set aside some wine and said, I intend to bring this as a mincha or nesachim. At that point, they have merely kedushas domim. They have a monetary value sanctity. That type of sanctity, kedushas domim, does lend itself to redemption. Ha'oifes v'eitzim v'alavoyna u'kli shores ein lohem pidyon. Bird offerings, birds, the wood that's used on the Beis Hamikdash, on the Mizbeach, Lavona, a spice that's used together with the Lechem Aponim primarily, and the Klei Shoris, service vessels of the Beis Hamikdash, ein lohem pidyon. There is no redemption that's applicable to them. Shelo ne'emar pidyon elo bebehema. the idea of redemption was said only with regard to an animal. An animal, meaning a cow, sheep, etc., to the exclusion of birds. We might point out that when this rule just said that there's no redemption, we're talking about things that have kedushas haguf, cannot be redeemed with the exception of animals, and that only if they became a balmum, if a blemish developed. But outside of a behemoth, balmum, other items that have kedushas haguf do not lend themselves to redemption. As we start the Gemara, we notice Shmuel's name in a bowtie form. On the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we feature the bowtie and indicate deos, different opinions, im yesh pidyon l'tahurim. The continuation of these opinions, the continuation of these this series formed by the bowtie, will appear on daf kuf aleph, amud aleph, at the lower part of the page, where we will notice Rav Kahana and Rav Elazar also having opinions on this topic. But in the context of today's shiur, we will be discussing Shitas Shmuel. We'll point out how he is to be contrasted with the other opinions. Let us open the Gemara now. Omar Shmuel, v'afilu hein tahorim niftin. Even if the menochas and nesochim are tahor, they have not become impure, they can be redeemed. That's to be emphasized here with our markings that we've dashed underline afilu hein tahorim. It's true, the Mishnah mentioned their redemption in the case that they became tomei. Shmuel is saying that the Mishnah is lav dafka. The Mishnah is not specifically referring to or limited to the case of tumah, but even if they have not become tomei, the menochas and the sochem can be redeemed. And of course, as the Mishnah says, this is prior to their being placed in a service vessel. We might want to contrast Shmuel with the opinion that we see on Kuf Aleph, Amud Aleph, at the lower part of the page. Rav Kana Amar Temeim Niftin, Tahurin Ein Niftin. He says that Tahurin, if they're Tahar, they cannot be redeemed. There's another opinion of that of Rav Elazar that says, Kulon Temeim Niftin, Tahurin Ein Niftin. He seems to go along the lines of Rav Kahana, that only if they became Tomei can there be redemption, not if they're Tor, with the exception of Chutz Me'asir So'efo Shel Minchas Chote, with the exception of the meal offering brought by a sinner. And the reason for that is a Gzeres HaKosuv that's featured on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Omid Aleph Me'chatoso Al'chatoso. This, of course, will have to be explained further when we get there in Mirtza Hashem. Turning back to Shmuel, who is the subject of our shiur for today, he says that even if they are Tor, the Menochos and the Sochem, they can be redeemed. The Gemara explains, my time, why is this? Answer, Kamo delo kachi bekli, as long as they haven't been put into a service vessel and haven't been sanctified through Kedushas Kli, Kedushas Domim Ninu. They have a level of sanctity which is of a lower level, the monetary value sanctity. Kedushas Domim Niftim, things that have Kedushas Domim lend themselves to redemption. The Gemara asks, well, how could Shmuel say what he does? Nitme'u Tanan. The Mishnah teaches Nitme'u. You can see we have a little star to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text. And you scan up the page, you'll see the star opposite the first line of this Mishnah, in which you see the word Nitme'u. So, what does Shmuel answer to this, when the Mishnah seems to make an allowance for redemption only under circumstances that they became Tomei? Shmuel responds, Hu hadin da'agav delo Nitme'u. The same halacha will apply even if they did not become Tomei. So then why did the Mishnah feature Tuma? The Aidi de Kaboi Misne Seifa. But since the Mishnah had was anticipating teaching the Seifa, which says, Mishikitshu Bikli Ein Lohem Pidyon, once they are put into a service vessel, there is no longer redemption. Dafilu Nidmu Nami Lo. We want to show how far things go, that the service vessel imparts sanctity that prevents pidyon, even in the case that they became unfit, even in the case that they became tameh. One might have thought that, well, since it became tameh, it can't be used anyway on the mizbeach, so allow for redemption. So we are telling you now that that is not the case. So since the seifa, there was a certain agenda, we'll say, that the Mishnah had in teaching the seifa case. So tana nami reisha shinit me'u. The reisha also uses the expression of shinit me'u. But when you're talking about, according to Shmuel, when you're talking about a case prior to sanctification in vessel, even if the menachos and nesachim are still tahar, they can be redeemed. Ad shelo kitshu b'kli. There is a girsa that we that the Shita Mekubetzis brings that doesn't read these words. So let's learn accordingly. Let's delete these words. And continuing the Gemara with an addition that is provided by the various commentaries, we're adding here the words Mishikitshu Bekli Ein Lahim Pidyon. Our Mishnah taught that once the Menachos and the Nesachim are put into a service vessel, they cannot be redeemed. So to this, the Gemara says, Pshita, Kedushas Haguf Ninu. Of course it cannot be redeemed, because once they're sanctified in a service vessel, they gain inherent sanctity, Kedushas Haguf, and that cannot be redeemed. So why does the Mishnah teach me the case of Mishikitshu B'Kli Ein Lahim Pidyon? Itzterich. I need to teach you this. Salko Daito Chamina. I would have thought without this Mishnah, Hoyel ubal mum ikri tomeh, tomeh nami ikri nami kebal mum domi. Since there is a precedent for calling a bal mum by the term tomeh, I might have thought that when something becomes tomeh, it's treated like a bal mum. Bal mum is a blemished animal. The afal gav, the kodesh kedushas haguf. And we know that even though an animal that absorbs kedushas haguf, kinofel beimum nifrik, when a blemish appears on an animal, it is able to be redeemed. Let's go over this point again. Here we have something that even though it has kedushas haguf, once it becomes a baal mum, it lends itself to redemption. Hani nami lifrok. These things that became tome, and we said that tome is referred to by as a baal mum, or we said a baal mum is called tome, so I would have thought there is a reflexive property that if baal mum is called tome, that which is tome can be viewed as a baal mum. Therefore, that which became tome would lend itself to redemption, as we know is the case with baalei mum. Komash malon, the lav ki hai tome kaya rachmono le baal mum. The Chidush of the Mishnah is that this kind of Tomei that we're talking about in our Mishnah, where something was exposed to, we'll say, ritual impurity, that's not the term Tomei that the Torah uses when referring to a Baal Mum. De Mikli Shores Lo Ashkechon De Mifrik. We don't find, even in the case of a Baal Mum, once something achieved Kedusha through Kli Shores, there is no longer Pidyon. And now a practical example to this is an animal that's a Baal Mum. Let us say it was slaughtered. The slaughtering is through a knife. That's called Kiddush Kli. That's a Kiddush through a Kli Shores. If you have a Baal Mum that was slaughtered with a knife, it can no longer be redeemed. Therefore, our menachos and nesachim, once they're placed into a kli shares, even though they may have become tamei, they cannot be redeemed. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.